And we're back here at the Redwood Area Community Center Civic Arena. Second intermission. Redwood Valley with a 4-3 lead. Early 4-1 lead after a couple goals, but then Prairie Center Area able to tack back on. And as a result, we've got ourselves a one-run game.
Yeah, pretty busy period there with goals and penalties abound. And three power play goals total in that period, which is pretty amazing. Don't see that three power play goals in a game very often. So the scoring for Redwood Valley that period, just 56 seconds in on their technically second power play of the period. It was a goal to TJ Cruz, assisted by Matthew Metzel and Cameron Summers. That was, again, a power play goal. And then they scored another goal there to take the 3-1 lead. This was Axel Persson's goal, and Folke Bjorkman and Will O'Halloran getting the assists on that one. And then, as you said, the 4-1 lead attained by Redwood Valley, another power play goal. That was Axel Persson's power play goal with the assist of Folke Bjorkman. Those two team up a lot on goals. I'm sure they very much enjoy being on line together. Well, I guess they're not. They're kind of on a line together. Folke is a defenseman. And that was a power play goal. So early on that period, it looked like Redwood might start to escape with this game, but then they got a couple penalties, and Prairie Center was able to capitalize on a dumb penalty. We'll chalk that one up in the dumb penalty category to Matthew Metzel for interference. He's certainly not the only player that's taken dumb penalties tonight, but did cost his team Prairie Center's lone power play goal of the game so far. That was 11:21, and then things finally started to quiet down a little bit late there in the period. Three goals for Redwood Valley that period. Prairie Center had two shots at 10 apiece for both teams. So now Prairie Center has 19 shots on goal for the game compared to Redwood Valley 16. Redwood Valley 2-4 in the power play that period. They are 2-5 so far in the game, and Prairie Center 1-3 on the power play that period. They didn't have any opportunities in the first period. So for Redwood, got to stay out of the box on this one. Prairie Center wanted to play a very physical game there, and Redwood seemed to kind of stoop down to their level a little bit and allowed them to get back into it. And so both these teams apparently don't like each other, which I don't really know why, because they barely play. I think they play each other once a year. Or maybe it's just the way tonight's going. But very physical play, and it's on both teams. The physical play is taking them out of the game. Certainly for Prairie Center, they could easily have a two-goal lead here, or have two more goals and have a one-goal lead. A couple missed shots wide open in front of the net. Redwood Valley makes a mistake and leaves a Prairie Center player with the puck and a fairly good position to score, and they just weren't able to corral the puck and get those shots off. So a couple of mistakes there, and Prairie Center is mad about a couple of penalties that they've gotten called on them in this game. So some mistakes abound, but certainly whoever ends up deciding that they want to own this period is probably going to own the game.
Yeah, it's been an interesting go with how things have played out between these two teams. The start, hot start, like you mentioned, and for a while it looked as though Redwood was in a good spot, but a couple bad penalties, and I think Bailey Summers is actually coming over here.
Okay.
So,
hey, if he wants to put the headset on, he can do color commentary. I'd see that.
I'm not going to kick you off the headset.
Are you sure he's coming over here? He's just probably going to get some popcorn or something. Or did you see him closer?
We'll see. Anyway, after tonight, we've got girls basketball on the air. As Redwood Valley's at Montevideo tomorrow night. Then after that, nothing until Saturday, when Redwood Valley hosts New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva.
That's not too bad. That's, what, four words?
LeSueur, Henderson, St. Peter, Tri-City, United, Cleveland. What was the other one that was added?
Belle Plaine.
That's
the one that took him over the cliff. They're like, we're adding Belle Plaine. That's enough.
at that point, they're like, we need to come up with a simpler way.
A large portion of our school districts are located along the Minnesota River, so we're going to call it Minnesota River. Hey, you can take my headset.
No!
Okay.
I've got a microphone here that works just fine.
Okay.
If I can get it hooked up here.
You got it? Yep.
Yep.
Trying to be helpful here.
We got a special guest that is going to join us here for a little bit as we get set for period number three. Joined by former Redwood Valley Cardinal Bailey Summers.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty busy.
Now I know you're down in my neck of the woods now, I should say, up in St. Cloud.
Yeah.
What are you up to?
Just been playing hockey up there. I'm doing some interviews, but they're not the same without Seth up there. And actually, we went to where Seth used to work up in St. Cloud, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I got the shout-out from one of my former coworkers. So you're playing for the...
Granite City Lumberjacks.
Okay, the Lumberjacks. Yep. And now, I always get a little confused with all the various levels of hockey. Where are the Lumberjacks at in terms of...
Well, I was in the NAHL in the beginning of the year, and I didn't quite make the cut, so I was sent down to the NA3, which is just below that.
Okay.
And I was lucky enough to go to Granite City. It's a great, great team. They're they won it last year, so
nice.
Hoping for another repeat, but see how it goes.
How's the season going?
Pretty good. We had a couple tough little break right now. We had our top defenseman go down, and then our starting goalie missed a couple games. He was injured as well.
Getting a chance to see your brother play here. They've had kind of an up and down year, but certainly midway through the second period, things are looking good.
Yeah, it's been looking pretty good so far. I like how they're playing. They're playing more as a team now, so I like what I'm seeing.
One question I did want to ask you, what has been going from the high school level to the level you're at now, how much different is it?
It's very different. Used to be able to go, I could usually take it end-to-end a couple times a game. Nowadays, it's usually get to the red, dump it in, chase hard, hit some guys maybe, get the puck back, hopefully.
Always got to get a couple hits in, but getting accustomed to it, I'm sure, and having a lot of fun, it sounds like.
Yep, it's a lot of fun up there.
What is your, just from what you've seen here tonight, what is the key for Redwood Valley to come away with a win?
They got to play good in the D zone. They've been given a couple chances where Jack's really bailed them out. And they just got to stay good in the D zone. Got to have a lot of help from the forwards in the D zone, too. It's not just the defensemen. But I think they're playing good so far.
Bailey, congratulations. You made the NA3HL All-Star team, is that correct?
Top prospects,
outstanding. So I saw that. That's very cool.
Thank you.
Well, It's been fun to have you back here for a little bit. I know you said you're in town with a few games coming up this weekend.
Yeah, but we're in Wisconsin this weekend.
Okay. Well, very good. I'll let you go back to enjoying the game. But
all right, thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
Bailey Summers, former Redwood Valley Cardinal, joining us here to start off the third period. And I think pretty fair to say... maybe the best hockey player I've seen come through here. Now, I've only been at this is year four, but even just in watching some of the teams in St. Cloud, definitely one of the best that I've seen. Mm-hmm. As we get back to the action here.
Yeah. Not only one of the best, not only probably the best, I think, in this program, but also the kindest, most generous player.
Down.
I mean, not only is he a polite guy, but he's helped kids at the other levels. He passes the puck. I'm surprised he even admitted that he was able to take it end-to-end because he's such a humble guy. I couldn't believe he actually said that on the air. But.
Well, and was even up here before the game started, and as we have a shot that kicks up into the netting, was up here before the game started, and we were kind of getting all set up and still came over and said hi. So we talked about last year at the end of the year, one of those kids that comes through and is able to really help boost the numbers of a program because you get all the kids that come through after he's gone and say, oh, I want to play like Bailey Summers did.
Yeah, not only did they get to say, not only get to watch him and say that they want to play like him, but he also probably came to their practice at some point and, you know, helped coach them on a practice or something like that. I mean, just a stand-up kid, you know, you can only cheer for him and hope that he's able to, you know, do or, you know, make it far in his hockey future outside of high school. But, you know, even in his case, you know, he's leading scorer in the state and still,
yep.
You know, it's such a tough road to climb to make your way. Even into the college level, and certainly I'm sure he'll play. I hope he'll play college hockey at some point. It's just a matter of finding a team. As River Valley's going to go to get a 2-minute penalty here for, I believe, it was a cross check to
got a good situation in St. Cloud, though. As mentioned, the Lumberjacks, they're a pretty solid organization. So we wish him the best, and always good to catch up with the former athletes, because now I've been at this long enough that there have been kids that started when I started and now are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always fun to get a chance to catch up with those kids when they're back. Back to the action. Redwood Valley on the penalty kill. As mentioned, it is 4-3, 14-10 left to go here in period number two. Centering pass towards the net, loose puck on a shot by Cordell Plass, picked up by Prairie Center. They try a shot. It sails up over the top of the net. Rebound picked up by the North Stars. Centered. Pad save, and the rebound came out, but Prairie Center could not connect on what would have been the tying goal.
And he shook his fist after that. It was Hunter Fletcher wanted to get another goal.
Well, and that,
he's like, could have had that one.
The way that Houghton was shifted over, if he would have connected on that shot, that would have been the tying goal. So the Cardinals catch a break. Nothing, no fault of Houghton, really. He had tried to play the initial shot. Just the rebound came out at a bad spot. North Stars with the puck at the top of the zone. They'll try for the centering pass, and that one goes wide left. Rebound picked up by the North Stars, so they'll try once again. Centering pass right in front of the net, and a good job by Logan Prouty to clear the puck. Be picked up by Defoe behind the net, and he will work it ahead to a teammate. North Stars again pushing the tempo. They'll try to get something going towards the net, but Cameron Summers able to knock the puck free. Picked up at the top of the zone, and good job by Cameron Summers, who basically single-handedly eliminated any sort of a chance there. Ground the puck to a halt on the far side, and then poke the puck into the offensive zone. Prairie Center has a power play opportunity come up empty, as both teams now at full strength. Prairie Center with an opportunity right in front of the net, and Jack Houghton able to close the pad.
He didn't even see that.
No.
That just went off his leg. He was looking completely in the other direction.
That was just pure instinct there by Jack Houghton. He's able to somehow close the pad. Because had he not, that puck would have slid in. So a couple of good breaks for Redwood Valley here in the third period so far, 12-12 remaining.
Certainly for Prairie Center, if they end up losing this game, it's not anything that Redwood did. It's just that they have missed so many opportunities to just take shots. And
pass to the top of the zone goes all the way back into the offensive zone. Prairie Center, another opportunity that goes by the wayside. Loose puck right in front of the net, and instead of attempting to pounce on it, Defoe tries to push it ahead and nearly pushes it right to a waiting Cardinal. Puck picked up by Gilk. He loses control, and now the North Stars will try to get something going. Axel Persson, though, slams that to a halt. Passed by Bjorkman, and Prairie Center is offside.
He's arguing it, but I could tell from up here that puck was offside.
Well, they had the North Star, they had the one North Star skater that was over in the corner.
Well, I think he was just saying that the puck didn't come back out of the zone, but there was a little bit of white space between the blue line and the puck, so it was back out in the neutral zone.
Nonetheless, faceoff, won by Redwood Valley. Deion Sullivan able to poke it ahead. Picked up by Cordell Plass. Plass trying to work it towards the net. Centers to the top of the zone. Cameron Summers. Shot. Loose puck. And Redwood Valley able to add to their lead. It's 5-3. Yeah.
Yeah, goaltender Isaiah Defoe tried to desperately reach out for it, and it was out of his reach, and so Redwood Valley was able to poke it in there. Fortunate bounce there for the Cardinals.
So now 11:20 left to go. 16 from, I think you said 9? We know the goal is to Deion Sullivan. The assist is the question. Cameron Summers with the cup, with the puck. Okay, so I wasn't even close. 8, 9.
Well, that's pretty close.
Well, that's two completely different sounding numbers.
Well,
I'm bad at reading lips, apparently. And now Prairie Center will head to the penalty box.
Don't know what the call was. There's some extra talking here, which makes me wonder what if there's maybe more than just 2 minutes or something. Yeah, it's 5 minute major.
Oh my.
So I don't know if it was boarding or what the call was there.
So Redwood Valley now an opportunity. Axel lets one fly, trying to hit that top left corner. And now Justin, assist me with this. If Redwood Valley scores on a 5 minute penalty, the penalty stays.
I still didn't catch what it was. But yeah, you're right. It's a major penalty, so they can score as many goals as they want during this time.
So this could be the turning point in the game. If Redwood Valley can come away with a couple of opportunities here, they could really put things on ice, no pun intended, with 10:24 left to go. Although I am hesitant to say that because they had a 4-1 lead. Luke sends a shot towards the net. It goes up into the netting but comes out. Folke with control. Prairie Center, though, getting ready to clear it, and they do.
Well, even just taking 5 minutes off the clock, that'll get it down to about 6 minutes left in the game. Still plenty of time left to score a couple goals, but not an opportunity you want to give up.
Prairie Center again sends one back behind the net. Axel will let his teammates get ready to roll. And he'll push it ahead. Tips it. Picked up by O'Halloran. O'Halloran reverses course to Person. Person takes a massive shot. And Prairie Center clears again.
Yeah, it's all fine and dandy there. But again, Prairie Center's got to figure out how to put more pucks in the net, not how many bodies they can put on the ice. And Cardinals got to make sure that they don't stoop down to that level, as icing's going to be called here. And, Cardinals don't want to take a penalty and even this up here. Redwood Valley is 2-for-5 on the power play, so they would like to put in another power play goal that, yeah, would pretty much take with this game out of reach. But they're going to have to earn that power play goal.
Centering pass, tipped back behind the net. Prairie Center still with control.
And there it is. That's the penalty that's going to even things up. Going to call it interference, and I it's going to go on Cameron Summers, and I think certainly the argument is that the player was close to the action and got hit. So that'll even it up here with 9:13 to go. Now, the caveat here is that Redwood Valley will still have a minute 8 on the power play after this penalty expires, but we'll play 4-4 for a while and open the ice up.
Face-off won by Prairie Center. They try to center. The pass skates right through the waiting North Star player's legs. Top of the zone, and Luke Ryan. Cardinals thinking that a penalty should have been called there as Ryan was basically held up by a North Star player's stick. Puck will go as an icing. 8:43 left to go here in period number 3. Redwood Valley leading 5-3. Centering pass. Good job by Metzel. Just getting it out of there, but it'll go as another icing.
I mean, you don't want to take faceoffs in front of your own goaltender here, but I think Cardinals are content to slow this game down. Same time, it's going to be a really long game here if they just keep throwing the puck down.
Curry center with an opportunity, trying to thread the needle. They'll back it up, centering pass, sails to the left. North Stars with the rebound. Nearly picked up by Cordell Plass, and now Metzel with it. Metzel tips it back to Deion Sullivan. Sullivan passed a couple of skaters, loses control of the puck, and now Luke Ryan will try to flank things down. Metzel and Ryan able to knock the puck free. Puck comes high up and hits the rafters.
Did it actually hit him?
Beams, rafters. See, I didn't think so. I didn't hear it hit anything.
I heard an initial thunk, but then the puck continued to sail, and they didn't blow the whistle. And
that was me just stomping my foot.
I mean, unless there's some sort of, I mean, unless they can say that as long as it goes up in the rafters, even if it doesn't hit them, that it's blown dead. Not sure the official rule on that.
Puck back behind the net, picked up by Metzel. Metzel ahead to John Berman. Berman worked it to Logan Prouty. Passed a little wide and picked up by the North Stars. Attempts to work it ahead, gets past Prairie Center, and Keegan Bork sends one off the boards, picked up at the top of the zone. Prairie Center working it towards the net. Top of the zone, shot blocked by Berman. Volke takes a hot shot and a shot towards Jack Haughton. He makes the save. 10 seconds left to go in the 4-on-4.
It's one of the rare opportunities where a team takes a penalty and they don't actually give up a power play opportunity. I had to write myself a note that so I don't count that in the stats.
Puck worked down low by Prairie Center. Top of the zone. Pad save by Haughton. Good backup by Folke.
Redwood full strength again.
Person with it. Axel works past a couple of Curry Center skaters, but they're able to push it back into the defensive zone. So Redwood Valley will again try to push it ahead. Axel past a couple of skaters. Working behind the net. Folke with it. Back across to Luke Ryan. Luke to Axel. Axel trying to pass it to Folke. Sent to the top of the zone. Good pickup, though, by Luke Ryan. Luke. Axel. Now he'll wind up. Pass in the corner. Shot by O'Halloran. Comes free. Folke. Back to Ryan. 16 seconds left. Shot towards net. Loose puck picked up by O'Halloran. Cruz trying to knock the puck free. Axel picks it up. And we've got an injured North Star.
And the fortunate break there, I don't know the initial hit, but Cardinals were going in for another shot. Or are they saying the net was off? I'm not sure whether.
No, I think it was the injured player, because it was officials checking the net, but it didn't budge. They just figured, well, we might as well.
No, you never want to see anybody get hurt, but
no, and look to be favoring a ankle. Redwood Valley fails to capitalize on their minute of power play. Still 5-3, 5:50 left to go. That's the most important number. Jed Hansen comes away with the turnover, works it along the boards to Chris Wersall. Wersall to Hansen. Hansen trying to skate past a couple of North Star players. Shot high over Jack Houghton's head. Loose puck, poked away. North Stars get it back. Far side, getting ready for a shot. Blocked. Picked up behind the net. Deion Sullivan with it. Works it off the boards. Shot again wide right. Summers slows progress. North Stars trying for control. Back to the top of the zone. Prairie Center just waiting. They'll try another shot. Tipped and poked away by Redwood Valley. Rebound is batted down. Cardinals get it to the top of the zone, and now here comes Jed Hansen. Hansen able to knock a North Stars player to the ice. Puck behind the net picked up by Cameron Summers. Summers gets past the Prairie Center skater. Cordell Platt tips it to Deion Sullivan. Sullivan slams on the break, able to somehow get it ahead to Platt. And he will come off the ice. Luke Ryan knocks the puck free. Puck at the top of the zone. Luke Ryan will grab it, tips it along the boards, picked up by Cordell. And puck comes free. It's a sprint to try to get it in the offensive zone. Logan Prouty comes up with it. Centering pass to Will O'Halloran, though, is tipped away by the North Stars. 3:56 left to go, and let's see if Redwood Valley can sustain some pressure. Person slams on the break. High and tight. Loose puck picked up by Bjorkman. Folke far side for Luke Ryan, and he sends one that sails over the top of the net. Folke, though, comes up with a rebound. Far side, Ryan. Let's see if he tries it again. Lower this time. Rebound picked up by Person. Axel navigates it along the boards. Axel getting ready. Fakes once. Sends one up and off the post. Ryan gets the rebound. Shot blocked. Picked up by Prouty at the top of the zone. And
I didn't see a penalty there. But Cardinals going to go to the box. Will O'Halloran is going to go for a cross check. Critical penalty here with just 3:21 to go. That brings the faceoff all the way back into the Redwood Valley zone too, and the Prairie Center calls a timeout. They want to work this over, so I would expect Prairie Center is probably going to pull their goaltender fairly early here. Generally, you probably only pull it 2:30 here with a two-goal deficit, but they want to take advantage of the two-minute power play they have here, so they're going to have to make a move quick and get that first goal, because obviously they've got a two-goal deficit they've got to make up here, and they'll only be able to score one on the power play.
Why don't we take a break? Question mark? No, we'll keep it here. Good call.
These timeouts are only 1 minute. They go by very quickly.
5-3 is our score. Redwood Valley on top. Two-minute penalty kill coming up. And for the Cardinals, they're trying to finish the regular season on a three-game win streak after a bit of a rough stretch. But nonetheless, as we hypothesized, sixth seed coming for Redwood Valley, so their likely opponent in the first round of the section playoffs is Litchfield Dassel Cokato, which would be on Thursday the 22nd.
Yeah, as you said, this game really means absolutely nothing in any sort of standings, but certainly momentum-wise, you want to have that three-game win streak going in the playoffs.
Redwood Valley back out on the ice. We'll keep on goalie watch on the far side.
Prairie Center 1-for-4 on the power play this game.
Faceoff is won by Prairie Center. They'll work it on the near side. Goalie staying put for now. North Stars trying for an opportunity, and that's probably exactly why. We got a 2-on-1, Cameron Summers. Far side to TJ Cruz. Cruz tries for the backhand. Save made by Defoe. Redwood Valley going to try to keep the pressure on here as long as they can, under three remaining. And puck stolen away by Berman. John Berman has been huge here today. Centering pass to TJ Cruz. Sails to the left. North Stars work the puck ahead. Tipped away. Shot. Hodd makes a high save. Pushes the puck behind him. Berman tried to clear. Loose puck comes free. Cameron Summers off the beam and into the crowd. Look out. 2:30 left to go.
That's the other risk, too, for Prairie Center pulling their goalie. Yeah, then they have the 6-on-4 advantage for skaters, but that also means because Redwood's on the penalty, they can clear the puck all the way down without risk of going for icing. So, but interestingly enough, they've kept him in the box here with as we reach the halfway point of this power play.
Faceoff won by Prairie Center. Stolen away by Cordell Platt. Nearly had a good breakaway opportunity, but nonetheless, North Star's still with it. Puck poked free. Luke Ryan on the shot deflection. Deion Sullivan tried to send it the length of the ice. Ryan sends one out.
Did that even go in the bench, or did that clear the glass?
No, that cleared everything.
That's a very nice line drive there. Shoot it from just the top of the circle to sky it over the glass on the other side of the rink.
Yeah, he got a hold of that one. That was a Gilmore.
Unfortunately, now it goes all the way back in their own zone.
Ryan will try it again. Boy. Yeah,
this time it does stay in the rink.
What a shot. Prairie Center will have to try to come up with the puck. Deion Sullivan pokes it free. And now the North Stars basically have to get the puck ahead as they do. Goalie starting to creep out of the crease.
I think they waited way too long. I mean, you can't, with just a minute and a half go, you're not going to score two goals.
I suppose, like you said, they were waiting until the power play was done, but it's not like they've had shot opportunities.
No,
centering pass,
yeah,
sails past, and
now
extra skater, but
Redwood full strength.
Now it's a minute, and well, it worked. Prairie Center gets one back. 1:15 remaining here.
A nice shot up high, top shelf. Well, it worked for now, and you know, you can say that 1:15 goes, that's plenty of time to score a goal. I just think when you have a two-man advantage, like, or when you have a power play and then you pull the goalie for two-man advantage, I think you just got to take that opportunity. This might be too little too late, although still plenty of time left on the clock.
Faceoff won by the North Stars and tipped up into the bench. So number 5 from 7.
And I think they're arguing that that puck tipped off. I think that went off of a Prairie Center player, and I don't know that. I think that's why Redwood doesn't want that faceoff so far deep.
Faceoff picked up by Redwood Valley. Metzl trying to clear it. Picked up by TJ Cruz. He'll reverse course. Prairie Center keeping their goalie in. Shot well to the right. North Stars pick up the rebound, and now here comes the Prairie Center goalie. Puck towards Haughton, picked up off the board. Cameron Summers. North Stars have to get back on side. Cardinals send it the far side. Prairie Center picks it up, and now they'll try again. Shot off the mask of Jack Haughton. Loose puck in front. Prairie Center picks it up, tries for the wraparound. And with 19.7 seconds left to go, we'll have a faceoff coming.
Redwood Valley's got a penalty up there, too. It's going to be tripping. As they kind of pull down, I don't know who's going to get the call here, but they pull down the player as he is trying for the wraparound. Penalty you probably got to take. TJ Cruz going to the box.
So basically, hang on. 19.7 seconds left to go. It'll be a 6-on-4.
Prairie Center can't decide how many players they want on the ice. Yeah, they had 7 there. Look, I guess that's what the situation was. Redwood Valley tried to have 5.
North Stars top of the zone. Trying to work it down low. Shot blocked. Prairie Center gets the rebound. Poked away by Will O'Halloran. And O'Halloran able to clear. And that will just about do it. Chris Wersal tried for the empty netter. And Redwood Valley comes away. with a win in their final regular season game. 5-4, Cardinals get the win, and they celebrate and mob Jack Houghton. And for Prairie Center, they're kind of stunned right now, getting all lined up for the handshake. So why don't we step aside? Cardinals win 5-4. We'll tally up the totals. We'll come back with the post game. You're listening to Redwood Valley Hockey on KLGR. Final score here at the Redwood Area Community Center Civic Arena, 5-4. Redwood Valley gets the win over Prairie Center Area. Here to help us break it down from ice level, first is TJ Cruz. TJ, a physical game again here tonight. Prairie Center came in. They were playing pretty well up until this game, and early on you guys were able to really establish the tone and get out to a quick three-goal lead. How are things looking out there on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, we really came out to this game knowing it's the last home game here. We wanted to play a good game, show the crowd what we can do in playoffs. We hustled the puck. We got the job done. We capitalized on the pucks, put them in the net, 5-4 game. It was a good game.
It seemed like you guys kind of caught them by surprise. I don't know what their mindset was coming into this game, but able to get that three-goal lead, they just seemed like they early on weren't really ready for what you guys were doing tonight, and then able to cut it back to a one-goal lead. How big was that that goal to push it to a two-goal differential?
Oh, very huge for us as a team. Getting the first goal really gives us faith on winning the game. We got to just keep capitalizing it. Put shots on net, you know, it goes our way, put pucks back in net, and we'll capitalize on the goals that we can.
Seemed like at the end of the game, midway through the second, into the third period, they really started to try to be more physical, to maybe try to wear you guys down. When you notice that's going on the ice, and you see them heading to the box quite a few times, what do you guys do mentally to adjust to that?
I mean, it's all coming from the bench, on and off the ice. You know, we got to have support in our teammates, cheer each other up, you know. Got to go out there and get the job done, or we can't lose a three-game load game. So, I mean.
Winning three games in a row heading into the section playoffs. I'm sure the team feeling pretty good. How much do you guys feel like this is an opportunity for you to build off of this end to the season and really make a run in the playoffs?
Oh, really good. I mean, coming out here, winning this game was huge for us in seeding. Winning at Wilmer was a huge game for us. Winning this game was also very huge. It gives us confidence that we can come out here and we can compete against teams. It gives us huge in sections, and looking forward to it.
TJ, thanks for the time. I'll let you go enjoy the win.
Thank you.
And now we'll be joined by Keegan Bork. Keegan, 5-4 win over Prairie Center here tonight, and got out to that 4-1 lead. They make a little bit of a run, and then as I just asked TJ, it seemed like they really started to try to out-physical you guys out there on the ice, but seemed like you guys were certainly ready for that. When they started to really try to crank up the pressure, how did you guys respond?
I mean, we practice that in practice. We come out physical in practice. Every drill is live. That's just how it's got to be, and that's what helps us in game situations like that.
It seemed like you guys were really ready to go from the get-go here tonight, and that obviously is because of the fact that you've won two games in a row, so really playing good hockey. But especially here tonight, able to get out to that 4-1 lead, really shows that you guys are coming into your own and really are playing your best hockey at the right time.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, we're working as a team. We all want to get back to GAC. We're not going to just give up because we went on that losing streak. That's not what a team does. We build ourselves up from that and get better so we can get to our goal.
A little bit of a wild end to the game. They made it 5-4 when they pulled their goalie for the extra advantage, but even with 19 seconds, still 6-on-4, they were trying to get that tying goal. What's that like being part of that and seeing them so desperately trying to come away with the goal and then not being able to?
I mean, it's nerve-wracking thinking that they're going to get that goal, but it's, then again, you got to have faith in your team that we're going to shut them down.
Jack, another strong effort here tonight. Gave up the four goals, a couple of them not necessarily his fault, but I thought you guys defensively played really well too, making sure that when loose pucks came out right in front of the net, getting them out so that there weren't those second and third opportunities. When you look back on a game like this and see that there were so many opportunities that they could have had that they didn't, how much does that fire you up as a defender?
A lot. You gotta work on your positioning. That's the thing. We split up in practice. We work on our positioning. It's just sometimes you can't cover everything.
Final question for you here. Now, three games in a row you have won heading into the section playoffs. Not sure who the opponent is yet. Have a pretty good idea who it'll be. But what is the mentality of you guys heading into the section playoffs?
We're going to go in and give it our all. We're going to leave it all there.
I like it.
Try and get back to GAC.
Keegan, thanks for the time. I'll let you go enjoy the win. And now we'll be joined by the victorious coach, Blair Wasengesso. Coach, 5-4 win here over Prairie Center area, and got to be really impressed with the tone that the team set early. Got the early goal a couple minutes into the game. Prairie Center ties it, but then able to build a three-goal lead, making it 4-1. And at that point, it looked like the team was playing very, very well.
Yeah, first off, I'd like to acknowledge the seniors there that played. This is their last home game of their high school career here. So they all did a great job, you know. Hats off to those boys, you know. Now it's time to for business here for getting ready for next week's game.
Looking at just how things then tipped out, Prairie Center was able to cut it to a one-goal game, 4-3, but then Redwood able to get the two-goal cushion. It seemed like Prairie Center really was trying to out-physical out there on the ice. They ended up taking a bunch of penalties. But it seemed like the Cardinals never really let things get to them. They did a good job of keeping their composure. Did you notice that quite a bit on the ice out there tonight?
Yeah, we came out strong there in the second period. After the first, I think it was tied 1-1. We started out strong in the second period here, moving our feet. The intensity level, again, carried on from the last game to this game. You know, we just fell asleep there in a little bit in the second period where we got off of our game. And next thing you know, we were playing their game. You're getting involved in those extracurricular stuff there after the whistle, and it was costing us and led us to penalties, you know, and Prairie Center took advantage of that stuff. So, you know, that's going to happen all the time. It just makes it a lot tougher on us to kill after kill, you know.
The defenders, I thought tonight, did a really good job of whether it be a hot shot or a hard shot off of Jack when the rebound would pop out, did a good job of seeing the puck and clearing it out, because there were a couple of times where Prairie Center had some good opportunities to maybe tie the game, didn't come up with them, but nonetheless preventing those second and third opportunities really came up huge tonight.
Yeah, that's what we've been telling the guys, you know, pay attention where your teammates are at all times and going from there, you know. We're always bunched up sometimes, you know, and we cost us some goals, but, you know, they're talking with each other and aware of their surroundings, you know, and they're giving that extra effort to helping our goalie. You know, goalie makes the first save or two, you know, they got his back, you know, so they're really coming together here in the last four games. I think that was a wake-up call when we played against Fairmont. That one was a really stinger for these young kids, you know, so that, you know, they're playing a lot different and just bonding, I guess, in the last few weeks here.
Yeah, it seems like, too, Jack is, he gave up the four goals tonight, but not all of them particularly his fault. Just extra opportunities and good shots as well by Prairie Center, but it seems like he's really coming into his own, and he has been looking very comfortable these last three games.
Oh yeah, absolutely. In his mind, you know, he's thinking he's got to give it at all. His high school career is coming down to an end here, and he doesn't want to leave on a sour note, you know. So, you know, his confidence is building. His teammates are rallying him up, and you know, his confidence level is getting there, and you know, he's seen the puck well, you know. We have Parker Revere that's helping us out there with the goalies, and he's doing a terrific job back there with Jack and Kaya. And they look totally different from the beginning of the season, and hats off to Parker.
final regular season game. We now turn our attention to the section playoffs. Not 100% sure who the opponent will be. We have a pretty good idea, but what's the message to the team heading into what is hopefully a lengthy push through the playoffs?
Yeah, it's just all about attitude and effort, you know. They worked all winter, all season, this hard, you know, not to put forth the effort and the attitude for these playoff games, you know. We're going to have to grind it out here, you know. But as long as they have the effort and attitude, you know, we can shock maybe somebody, you know. We never know, you know. It's playoff time.
Did that at Litchfield last year, so it certainly is within the realm of possibility. We'll see. If the Cardinals can make it 2 years in a row to Gustavus. Coach, thanks for joining us here in the postgame. I'll let you go celebrate the win, and we'll see how things shape up that first section game next week.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me again, guys.
Coach Watson Gesso joining us here in the postgame. The Cardinals end up getting the win by a score of 5-4 over Prairie Center. 9-16 now for the Cardinals on the year. Don't worry, that cap is airlocked.
Totally just slammed
no,
your
okay,
water
that's
down.
Okay. Like I said, it's airlocked. I vacuum seal that. So
good when you have a klutz like me around. Good thinking.
9-16 on the season, and for Prairie Center, they fall to 12-12-1. And Prairie Center had won four games in a row before this, and they had won six out of their last eight. They were 6-1-1 in their last eight games. So playing extremely well coming into this game, but you run into a buzzsaw, sometimes you get burned, and that was the case here tonight. I knew I was going to get you, too. That's
when
why I put
you run into a buzzsaw, sometimes you get burned.
That's why I put that in there. I knew that was going to get you to
break.
Did you
get that from somewhere? Or just...
No, I made that up off the top of my head. Let's just kind of recap what happened. I know we haven't really looked at stats much. Don't have final shot totals, but nonetheless, a lot of goals here tonight.
I would suspect that Prairie Center probably outshot Redwood Valley. It was close, but after two periods, they had the 19-16 advantage, and I think they probably got a few more shots, because like we said, a lot of Redwood shots were kind of high and that sort of thing, but especially there in that third period, Prairie Center was missing quite a few shots as well. Let's run down the goal scoring for Redwood Valley, as I already put my roster away. Smart like that. First period, first goal at 1:32, very quick into the game. I got it.
Okay.
Jed, these have my marks on it, so it's easier to tell. Jed Hansen with the goal, assist to Luke Ryan. Redwood Valley and Prairie Center tied at one after one period. In the second period is where we saw the bulk of the scoring, five goals total in that period for both teams. 56 seconds in, it was early too. Redwood Valley took the lead. That was a goal from T.J. Cruz with assist to Matthew Metzel. I don't know why they say Metzel. And Cameron Summers. That was a power play goal. And then at 3:03 of the second period, Axel Person got a goal assist to Will O'Halloran and Folke Bjorkman. Then at 6:09, Redwood Valley scored another power play goal. That, again, was Axel Pearson with Folke Bjorkman with the helper there. And then that did it for the scoring for Redwood Valley. The second period, third period, Redwood Valley got, or Prairie Center got two goals in the second period to make it 4-3 after two. Third period, Redwood Valley's lone goal that period went to Deion Sullivan and the assist to Cordell Plass. That was at 5:40. And Prairie Center scored one goal in that third period as well. So in the game, both teams had six power play opportunities. Of course, Redwood had the longer one with the major penalty, but that got negated by their own penalty. That took a 2-minute chunk out of that. Nonetheless, Redwood Valley 2-for-6 in the power play that game, and Prairie Center 1-for-6 as they got a late power play goal at 17:47. Where did they get that power play goal? No, they got it in the second period, sorry. They got their power play goal, so they were 1-for-6 on the power play, so each team kind of had some missed opportunities there. You know, an exciting game, a little sloppy at times from both teams. Certainly not the most clean, crisp game, but
it was,
doesn't really matter.
I think you look at the start for Redwood Valley in this game, getting out to that 4-1 lead, and you hope that you see more of that as opposed to when things started to get chippy. And I think that certainly had something to do with it, too, is when Prairie Center players are trying to put you on your back, on the ice, then that certainly becomes a little bit more of the where your attention goes than where the puck is.
Right, and it's hard for a player, I understand that, but, you know, when Rutter Valley was playing their game, they built a 3-goal lead. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, Prairie Center started to get very upset, and unrightfully so. I mean, they were in this game, and they got it within one,
yeah.
and I made a comment that I don't know why they were getting so angry and throwing so many checks out there and drawing penalties because they were in the game. And so, but as a player, when you start getting checked a lot or your teammates start getting checked a lot, you get upset and you want to turn it back. And that's when Rutter Valley did that, that's when Prairie Center started to get back into the game. And so if it's a very mental situation here that you, if you can keep focused on playing your game, you know, making the passes, making the shots, you're going to get the lead and keep it. It's when you start to kind of stoop down to the, and there's nothing wrong with checking. There are places where checking is a strategic move, where
mm-hmm.
oftentimes players resort to it as just to try to say, oh, well, you know, if I can check them and hurt them, then they'll take them out of the game, and it doesn't. And so then you get, that's where you get the penalties, and so I think that's where, you know, Coach Wasengesso kind of alluded to that a game kind of got away from them a little bit in the second there. You know, you just got to stay on your game and play above the other team, and you'll get the win most of the time.
Just some final thoughts to wrap up here. 9-16 now on the season for Redwood Valley. They will await their section opponents next week. We talked at length about how we think things will play out with a likely date with Litchfield Dassel Cokato coming up Thursday next week on the 22nd. That is our best guess as to how things will play out. We won't know until the coaches vote, and I would assume that that'll happen this week Wednesday. That's typically how that goes the week before, so we should know for sure by Wednesday, but I'd be very surprised if it's not what we expected it would be, is that they'll avoid that first round, that play-in round,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll play on Thursday at Litchfield Dassel Cokato.
Yeah, so they're the lowest seeded team to know that they're in the section quarterfinals, but they also know they're going to, you know, have the toughest predetermined quarterfinal match. Obviously, they aren't going to play the 1 or 2 seed, but yeah, we pretty much know for sure that Redwood's going to get the number 6 seed. It's the question of whether or not they'll play Litchfield Dassel Cokato. Looks like it,
mm-hmm.
probably just the way it looks. So Redwood Valley's made that trip before. It's never an easy task. Obviously, they have finally won one game up there, but that took overtime, right?
Yeah.
And for them to do so, and they needed. Last year, they needed a strong effort from their goaltender. It was Alex Barnes that, you know, carried them through that game. They're going to need that from Jack Ryan. He's certainly capable of it. Jack Houghton, sorry. My bad. You know, he's certainly capable of carrying the team. But, you know, in a game like this where the Redwood Valley played probably a good solid 45 minutes, somewhere around that. They're going to need a good solid 51 minutes, if not more, to win a section quarterfinal. But you heard them say GAC. They're, of course, referring to the Gustavus Adolphus College.
Yep.
And then the, I don't know what the arena is down there in St. Peter. Can't remember what it's called.
It's been so long.
It's named after somebody, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
But that's their goal, you know. Which I think is smart, you know, for them, you know, they know that this a state appearance is probably not in the cards, but for them, they just want to get back on that stage and play in a section semifinal at least, and of course, I think they really obviously want to play in a section final, which they were very close to having last year and just got away from them. So they want a little redemption there, but they just kind of want to play that game on that elevated stage, and certainly for Redwood Valley, it's one game at a time, but they're going to have to go through very likely a tough Litchfield team, and even if it's not Litchfield, it's going to be, you know, New Ulm or Marshall, which are going to be tough games either anyway. So I think that at least the nice thing about playing Litchfield is Redwood's played them. Did they play this year?
Yes. 9-3.
Okay. They've only played them once, so there's a little bit of maybe, and I think it was it earlier in the season?
That was the game that you did.
Oh, that's right.
In December.
December, yeah, okay. I don't remember the answer. But there, I can say there's a little bit of more question marks, you know, I believe Houghton was not in net at that point. Pretty sure of that.
I think you're correct.
So the point is that, like, when you play these teams in your conference twice, and then you have to play them again in the playoffs, you know what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least with Litchfield, there's a little bit of like, well, maybe things are different, and that can make a big difference in mentally preparing for the game. If there's a little bit of an unknown regarding your opponent, that kind of at least gives. I don't think ignorance is the word I want to use here, but if there's some sort of unknown, then you at least.
You have to guard against it.
You can at least kind of say, well, you know, maybe something's different this time.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if you go up against a New Ulm or something, you know, you just kind of know how that game's going to turn out.
Right.
So I guess in that case, if I were Redwood, I'd rather go play a Litchfield because you're not completely sure what you're going to get that night.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's a tough place to play, but it's always an exciting venue, and you and I that's where we got to go. We'll be happy to make the trip one more time.
We will be there. Before we sign off the Redwood County American Dairy Association Player of the Game, we're going to go with Folke Bjorkman tonight, as he ended up with two assists. Was the beneficiary, or the assister, I should say, on Saturday for Axel Persson's two goals. So, like you mentioned, that combo has been having a lot of fun here so far this season. But Folke with two assists today, but also a lot of heads up plays defensively. He did a good job blocking a couple shots, poking pucks free. So we're gonna go with Folke.
It's just kind of funny how that works out. You know, the last game,
yeah,
it was Axel with two goals and Folke with two assists. Tonight it's also Axel with two goals and two assists. The other day we were debating which one we should give it to, so now we give it to the other one.
Yep,
works out.
A little bit of a flip of the coin. So congratulations to Folke Bjorkman for getting a player of the game here for tonight's game. And again, those from the Redwood County American Dairy Association. For Justin Miller, I'm Seth Topol, signing off from the Redwood Area Community Center Civic Arena. Big thank you to the 2017-2018 Cardinal Sports Boosters for their support of our final regular season hockey broadcast of the year. Stay tuned for postseason schedules coming midway through this week into next week, but we still have two more regular season games this week. Then things will start to shift towards playoffs next week. Girls basketball tomorrow night, then boys basketball on Saturday. All that coming up right here on your home for Redwood Valley Athletics, KLGR 1490 AM, FM 95.9, KLGR, Redwood Falls.